Greetings and salutations and welcome to Full Court Press, brought to you by the Game Entertainment and Media and The Game, Monday nights on News Talk 1400. Scott Nason with you as we record the show on Saturday afternoon, as we are joined by co-host, former Pickford head varsity basketball coach Matt Johnson. And Matt, great for you to join us once again on Full Court Press. How you doing on, well, not so chilly Saturday morning, sir?
Doing great. Excited. AFC Championship game tomorrow. My Bengals, everything worked out well last weekend. Looking forward to our show. Have a great guest. Let's get it rolling.
Let's get it rolling indeed. Our guest on Full Court Press, EJ Suggett, senior basketball player for the Rudyard Bulldogs varsity basketball team. EJ, appreciate you taking time out of your busy schedule for joining us on Full Court Press. How are you doing on this Saturday, sir?
I'm doing good. Thanks for having me.
Well, it's great to have you on, EJ, and my first question is, let's talk about that game last night at the Harris Call Gymnasium as you and your team improved to 10-0 on the season as you knocked off the Suhai Blue Devils for the second time this year by the score of 56-42. And EJ, that game was very interesting because your big man, Tate Besteman, gets in early foul trouble, and Suhai started to make a push, but you really, at the end of that second quarter, got things going. I wouldn't say you cruised to the victory, but you certainly had a nice win. Just your thoughts on that game last night.
Yeah, it's definitely a different game without Tate in there. Big post presence with him. But I think everybody else stepped up when we needed to. Bickle had a couple really big shots there at the end of the quarter when they put in, started doing their 1-3-1 press. Brett made some good passes. Cam drove to the hole. And I think we just played really good defense, which always helps.
All right. Well, yes, congratulations on the win, EJ. I'm going to have a lot more to say about this game after the interview, obviously. I couldn't have been more incorrect in the outcome because you not only won, but you won decisively. My question for you, you've been a four-year varsity player, and, you know, I was coaching against you in those first couple of years, and right, you've seen quite a bit of change on your team, who your teammates are. Can you just talk about the journey on, like, from the time you were a freshman to now, how has your team changed, and how has the basketball program changed?
I think the style of play has changed a lot. My freshman year, we were scoring. It was a very fast-paced scoring game. There wasn't a ton of defense. There's a lot of 70-point-plus games for both teams. And as our personnel changed and our style changed, we've become more defense-dependent. We want to hold guys under 40 points or under 30 points if we can. So that really changes the outcome and style of the game when you play a lot. It's not slower pace, but a different style.
I want to for the rest of the Eastern Upper Peninsula, I just would like to point something out. You'll notice that Rudyard's winning all these games. What was the emphasis on defense? That's going to be a theme later on in the show. Some of the horrible, horrible defense that I've seen played around the Eastern UP, Rudyard being the exception. You guys have been, top notch at it, and defense does indeed win, and you guys showed it again last night. Go ahead, Scott.
Yeah, I was going to ask EJ, you know, at the midway point of the season, you're undefeated and you and your teammates have high expectations this season. Obviously, with the talent on your team, reaching the first state semifinal for the school in boys basketball since 1963. At the midway point of the season, EJ, are you meeting those personal goals yourself and for your team? And what's ahead for the second half of the season that you might want to shore up as far as things you need to improve on?
I would say that we're working on it. It's a work in progress. There's some things. I think turnovers are a big deal. We haven't had a ton of bad games as far as turnovers until the Sioux this last game. So when you start playing some tougher teams defensively, you make silly mistakes. I got picked a few times last night and I definitely shouldn't have, which I think those, if you want to go make a deep playoff run, you have to control what you can control. Play hard defense. Don't give the other team extra possessions and give them the ball, stuff like that.
You know, one of the things that impresses me from this conversation, is really your maturity as a player, because you know you were able to score from the get go when you were a player, but hearing you in this interview talking about defense, talking about avoiding turnovers, those negative plays, I mean that's what coaches, at least winning coaches, focus on, not just who scores. So my question would be, how did your mentality, I don't want to say evolve, but how did you learn to prioritize and value things like avoid the turnover, improve shot selection, focus on defense, as opposed to just scoring a lot of points?
I think the statistics, we're big into stats. We have a Mark Spriggs, our stat guy. I think when you look at the statistics and see, man, we're giving up 30 turnovers. That's 30 extra possessions that the other team is getting that we're giving to them for free. And you realize when you play better teams, you can't do that. You make it a lot tougher on yourself. And as far as scoring earlier on in my career, I was trying to take it to the rim or take shots that I probably shouldn't have. Whereas now I feel like I'm letting the game come to me a little bit more.
EJ Suggett joining us on Full Court Press. And EJ, you have played for your dad as far as him being your coach for a long time, not just on the Rudyard Boys varsity basketball team, but just throughout your playing career. How is it playing for your father as head coach? I mean, he's been instrumental along with your mom, Heather, as far as your development, not just on the court, but of course, being parents. How's it been for you playing for your dad, Jim Suggett?
It's a special bond for sure. There are some long car rides home, but you know, sometimes you have to separate the dad and the coach part, but I enjoy it. It's definitely different than just having a normal coach, but I think it's beneficial.
EJ, as you look ahead, to the rest of the season, you know, a lot of these teams you've played already and sort of won decisively. One of the challenges I had with my kids 2 years ago when we had a real solid team is getting the team kind of up for games that, you know, there wasn't a lot of doubt as what the outcome was going to be. How much of a challenge is that for your team, moving forward?
So I'd say sometimes it's a challenge, but I think we do a good job. We make goals for ourselves within the game, not giving up a certain amount of offensive rebounds, not turning the ball over as much, keeping them underneath a certain amount of points. So it's kind of a game within the game that keeps us into the games that may not be as close.
Okay.
EJ, you're a three-sport athlete, obviously success in all three sports, quarterback on the varsity football team. You guys made a deep playoff run and currently on the boys basketball team. Coming up in the spring, you'll be on the baseball team, and you decided that your college career athletically will be with baseball as you've currently, or I should say recently, committed to Spring Arbor. What was your decision or what went into the decision to play baseball and go to Spring Arbor?
I think I kind of got onto the recruiting process a little bit late. So baseball last season, it's the you have the most time to get recruited for. Also, I love all the sports, all three sports that I play pretty much equally. And I've played the most baseball throughout my career with travel baseball and all that type of stuff. So I figured to go with that one.
And, EJ, one more from me. Last year you had, your team had quite a nice tournament run. What did you learn from that experience and that, you know, that you can take into this postseason?
I would say how important every possession is. Really kind of hit me when we got, not the Kearney-Nadu game, but when we played Tri-Unity, we got down by a couple scores right away, and they had a really good point guard who's back again this year. And he was able to just run out the clock, and we had no one to guard him. So I would say to start out the game strong, every minute matters, because if you get behind, once you play a good team, you can't catch back up.
EJ, my final question for you is, again, 10 regular season games left, and then you have districts and hopefully regionals and beyond. I know you're focused probably just on the next practice and the next game, but my final question is, how far can this team go? High expectations, you set the bar very high last season, making it to the state semifinals as a junior, and you are a senior now. How far can this Red Yard Bulldogs team go, in your opinion?
I think it's all the way if everybody stays healthy, if we play like we should all the time, if we don't put four quarters together, it's going to be tough to beat some of these teams. Our district's not a walkthrough, and neither is our regional. So you have to play every minute. But I think we could go all the way right back to where we were last year.
I think you can indeed. Matt, do you have any final thoughts for EJ before we let him go?
Well, just congratulations. I couldn't be happier for you as far as, you know, your development there. And I will say this as a former Red Yard AD, you guys get in that tournament run. I might dust off, one of those old Red Yard sweatshirts that I have. And I'll be pulling for you guys.
Thank you.
And Matt, I can say the same thing exactly. And, of course, much like EJ's mother, Heather, who works in the Sioux, from the Sioux, I'm from the Sioux, but always have a soft spot for the folks in Rudyard. They've always been good to me. And certainly, EJ, it's been a lot of fun watching your career progress. You've been one of the best athletes to come out of Rudyard ever. And best of luck this season. Hopefully we'll talk to you again maybe one more time before or during your tournament run. And thanks for joining us on Full Court Press. Enjoy the rest of your weekend, and we'll see you on the court very soon. Soon, sir.
All righty. Have a good weekend. Thanks, guys.
All right. See you, buddy.
And welcome back to Full Court Press, brought to you by the Game Entertainment and Media and the Game on News Talk 1400. Scott Nason and Matt Johnson with you on this Saturday, January 29th edition of Full Court Press. And Matt, appreciate you setting up the interview with EJ Suggett. Just a class kid right there, in my opinion, not just on the court, but you listen to his interviews, and almost any interview I've heard him talk, he doesn't talk a lot about himself. He talks about his teammates, his coaches, and like you said during the interview, playing defense and doing those smart things. Jim and Heather have raised that kid right, in my opinion.
For sure. One of the things that sticks out to me, I mean, everything you said about, you know, how polite and gentleman he is true, certainly. But just from a basketball point of view, I want to point out the things that he was talking about. I mean, I wasn't talking to a player. It was like I was talking to a coach.
And exactly. Actually,
not just a coach, like a good coach, right, as far as the things that were being emphasized. He understands here, like, there's a reason that Red Yard is in the situation that they are in. They're talking about the right things. The kids have learned basketball. So when they talk about, like, turnovers and maximizing possessions and, you know, it's simple math. You get more shots up than the other team, your chances of winning are going to be better. Avoiding turnovers, negative plays, and just to have kids kind of internalize that and spread that message, they understand the game, and that is why they are in the position that they are in.
Matt, you and I were both at the Harris Call Gymnasium last night in a game you heard on 1230 WSOO with myself and Ray Bell as the Rudyard Bulldogs improved to 10-0 on the season as they knock off Sioux High for the second time this year. Leading throughout the game, winning by the score of 56-42. The Bulldogs led by 20 at half as the Blue Devils did play a better second half, but it wasn't enough as now the Rudyard Bulldogs have a very good chance to be undefeated throughout the rest of the regular season. Leading the way for Rudyard offensively last night, EJ Suggett, who had 17 points. Austin Warner with 10, Jacob Nolan with 8, along with Brett Mayer with 6. Tate Besteman did score 7 points, or he scored 4 points, rather. Cam Peterson had 7 for the Bulldogs last night, but Besteman got in early foul trouble. He missed about half of the first quarter in the entire second quarter, and at that point you thought, well, you know what, Sioux High might make a run, but boy, the last portion of the second quarter, the Bulldogs really put their foot on the gas. They were up by 6 at the midway point, and then going to the halftime break up by 20. You were there, Matt. I want your thoughts on the game. I have some myself, but I'll let you go first.
Well, I'm eating crow. You know, I will tell you this, in self-defense. I did text you, and you have the written record of this.
Before I do.
Thing. After watching the Sioux on Monday and Wednesday, I wanted to revise my prediction. But, of course, I wasn't on the air, so there's no way for me to prove that to the loyal listeners. But that being said, I'm pleased that I was able to provide some motivation for Rudyard.
You sure did.
Yeah. But let me say this about Rudyard. I'm going to start with Rudyard because I have a lot to say about the Sioux. I'll start with Rudyard. What's amazing is, to me, is how they are getting more from more guys right now. Yep. It shows you, like, my old strategy, the one that we used against this team, which was, like, let's get Bestman in foul trouble, and we felt like then we'll really do a clampdown on EJ's shooting. That strategy you can throw out the window because they have more guys that can score. You know, we know what EJ can do, and Warner's been there, and Mayer, but just talking with Peterson earlier today, some of their kids that came off the bench really perform well. Aiden Bickle hit some key shots.
Huge shots.
You know, like, the Sioux was getting back in that thing, and he came in at the right time. God, Jesse Zierup. Like, when Bestman got in foul trouble, you thought the tide might turn because, honestly, you look at the Sioux, and more on them in a minute, the posts, I mean, they have just a glut of talent there with big guys, and I thought that they were going to just, you know, dominate that battle. Zierup came in. He just was effective, and Rudyard in general was effective. You know what? I mean, I'll just start by saying this. Their team is just better at basketball. Their offense, they have an attacking style offense where they're attacking the basket, going forward, trying to score, not going sideways, not dribbling sideways endlessly. They're attacking the basket. They avoid the turnover. They play hard defense, the best defense of anyone in the Eastern UP. So I'll start by that. I mean, Rudyard, I should have picked them. I will not pick against them the whole rest of the season, including the playoffs. My bad. Now, the Sioux. Let me start by this. I was critical a little bit of their lineup and rotation earlier in the season. And then I thought it was fixed, and now I think it's not fixed again. I think that I said at the start that one of their challenges, they have to get their rotation right. I don't think it is. I think that you look at it, they don't play with two bigs ever. And they have these between Campbell and Joey Gravel. And Emmett Fazari. I mean, they have three big guys there that can play above the rim. You know, they really, and when you have Bestman get in foul trouble and you're not able to take advantage of that, I mean, it just spoke to, like, it would have been an awesome time to have that. Next thing, their pressure was very effective in the second half, right? When they switched to that, when they were doing full court pressure. The problem is, that Rudyard went on a 14-0 run at the end of the second quarter. Right? No timeouts or anything to stop it. I mean, 14-0.
That was the ball game to me. Yep.
Yeah. And by the time, you know, they start to play a little better in the third, and the pressure was effective, but that probably should be something moving forward that they consider doing. They have depth. You know, Jacob Davey came off the bench, was, I thought, very effective in with the press on defense. You know, I thought Emmett Fazari came in and played his tail off.
Played a solid game.
Yeah, hitting the boards. When you have depth, you can do full court pressure because guys can just go 100 miles an hour. And I thought that depth would be a problem for Rudyard, as I spoke to earlier. Turned out not to be the case. They had guys that outperformed. But still, the Sioux, if you're going to play so many guys, you might as well play up tempo. Their offensive possessions take so long. I just hate their offense. I just hate their offense. When you're dribbling sideways and, you know, it's opportunities for turnovers. How many times they get called for a carry? You're not even trying to score. You're just
at least six or seven. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, they're playing the same style that they played when they didn't have talent, but now they have talent. And it's like, why are you trying to slow down this game? If anything, you should be trying to speed up the game. So it was very disappointing for the Sioux perspective. And I was clearly wrong.
Yeah, it was amazing, Matt. At the game, I ran into a few of the Rudyard folks that I know, and almost all of them for a T said, "Where's Matt Johnson? Where's Matt Johnson?" So you provided the motivation for Rudyard. Not that they needed it, but it's great that that many people are listening to this show, and we certainly appreciate it. My thoughts on the game, Matt, again, this is the first time I've seen Rudyard in person, and you hit the nail on the head with their depth. And I think this was a good experience for Rudyard to go through against a good Sioux High team, a team that they only beat by two at the opening in the opening game of the season, getting Bestman in that foul trouble and having a little adversity, and they came right through. You mentioned that 14-0 run, and you said it, Aiden Bickle, 8 points all in that second quarter. He hit two threes. I thought Jesse Zerp's play off the bench was solid, especially when Bestman wasn't out there, and I was really impressed just top to bottom with the Bulldogs. But Cam Peterson, I mean, you look at his stats, at least on scoring seven, but I mean, he took two or three charges, he created several turnovers, and just defensively, I'd put this guy up against anyone in the Eastern Upper Peninsula as far as defensive ability and just the ability to create a lot of offensive situations. And so I think this was a good experiment, or I should say experience, for Rudyard and for them to go through against Sioux High, because, you know, learning to play without Bestman certainly helped. And this team, to me, is better than last season. Obviously, a lot of their players have more experience, and so they're going to be better, but they're a little deeper, and that certainly will help them when they get in situations like this. And I would be absolutely shocked, and I said it on the broadcast, if they don't go undefeated throughout the regular season, obviously, but they got a chance to take a very, very long run into the postseason. Looking at Sioux High, you know, I talked to Coach Mike Fitzner after the game on the postgame interview, and he said we just didn't have the energy in that first half. And it was very similar to the girls game on Thursday, where Rudyard was down 22 points at half and then changed things up, put a press on, and played much better. Sioux High did play better in that second half. I was very impressed by Emmett Fazari and Jacob Davey. Like you said, if all those players had the hustle that those kids had last night, I think it would have been maybe not a different result, but a closer margin. And so Sioux High now 5-6 on the season, 2-2 in EUP conference play. Rudyard improves to 10-0, 4-0 in EUP conference play. Matt, any other final thoughts on that game before we look at some of the other games?
Yeah, I'm glad you brought up defense, because that's where it should start. Rudyard's better at defense. The Sioux, yes. Like, if you're doing eyeball test, you see the Sioux come out, and you're like, oh, my God, they have a bunch of strong, athletic kids. You know what I mean? Like, they do. Those kids are strong and fast, and you think that they're going to come out and outperform defensively. Rudyard just worked harder on defense. The Sioux help defense was not good enough. To explain, when you're playing man-to-man defense, even though it's man-to-man, if someone is driving the basket, you have to obviously stop the dribbler. Okay, so if I am the post and I am guarding my guy on the block and a guard is dribbling at the basket, I have to stop the dribble. I can't just give the guard a layup. The saying that we have is you have to help the help. When the backside guards have to drop and pick up, you know, any offensive player that would cut to the basket. What repeatedly happened in this game is there was no helping of the help. Rudyard would just get layups because the help defense was poor. And that's not what I was expecting. I was expecting a team that would be very effective on defense, and they just weren't. Okay. They just weren't. Other thing I'll say, you know, what I think moving forward with that team, here's what I think that they might consider, right? You almost can have, because you have a lot of guys, and if you want to play so many players, instead of just having it, you know, where it's like middle school, everyone gets 5 minutes, then we come out. I think it'd be better, perhaps, to have like that pressure thing that they had so much success with in the second half. I mean, it looked really nice, actually. Have that kind of as a faster lineup. And then, if those guys are going full speed, it's going to be exhausting. Then maybe trying a two bigs, because if you're doing a high-low game with two post guys, that's very difficult for a team that can't match that. I'd like to see them do that. And offensively, I just think they need a rewrite for what they're doing, or the outcome's not going to change.
For our listeners listening to this show, you can find the rebroadcast of last night's game with myself and Ray Bell on this website, thegamesportshow.podbean.com. Matt, looking at the other games that were played last night in boys basketball and Straits Area Conference play, Sheboygan, they knock off Newberry by the score of 62-49. The Sheboygan Chiefs now 4-7 overall, 2-2 in Straits Area Conference play. Newberry 3-6 overall, 0-4 in Straits Area Conference play. They will be at Sioux High on Monday night, a game you can hear on 1230 WSO with Dave Watson and Ray Bell. St. Ignace in boys basketball last night, they defeat Cedarville Detour by the score of 63-46. And congratulations to Saints head coach Doug Ingles, who secured his 800th career win as a varsity coach in both boys and girls basketball. Congratulations to Doug. St. Ignace now 6-4 on the season. They will be at East Jordan on Wednesday, while the Islanders 4-5. They will face Newberry on the road on Wednesday. And the Brindley Bays knock off the Pickford Panthers in boys basketball in Pickford last night, a high-scoring affair by the score of 96-82. Brindley now 5-6. They will face Cedarville Detour on Friday, while the Panthers 0-8, they will be at Harbor Springs on Tuesday. So, Matt, I know you watched a good chunk of that Pickford-Brimley game, a high-scoring game, and your theme is defense for this show, so the floor is yours on any of those games.
Yeah, I did. I watched the first half of the Pickford-Brimley game, and, you know, Rudyard is in the position they're in because they play a lot better defense than everyone else. Pickford, you know, I looked at it last year and we had a tough season. You know, we were down a little bit, but we had one game last year where we gave up over 70 points. I believe we gave up 71 or 72 either against Munising. So far this season, Pickford has five games already that they've given up over 70 points. The last two games, they gave up 94 and 96 points, respectively. They're close to giving up 100 points in a game. And you just can't beat anybody with that kind of defensive effort, right? Like, I mean, and I look around, and Brimley, who beat them, I thought Brimley struggles with defense. I said that when, you know, they beat Pickford decisively in the first game, and I watched that game and I said, they're going to struggle. Their defense is going to be a problem. I said that when it's tough to say when you beat a team by 40, but I looked and I said, their defense is going to be a problem. Coaches need to emphasize defense, and it's not, and you have to coach it through your drill work, through practice each day. It's not just, are you in a man or are you in a zone? And I tend to favor man. I tend to think that teams that play really aggressively on man defense, they tend to be the better teams. But just saying you're playing man is not the same thing as playing good defense. You have to get all the elements down. You have to get your help down. You have to have defensive stances. You have to have talking and communication. And right now, the opportunity, if someone else besides Rudyard in the Eastern UP just really puts an emphasis on defense, and they just, you know, taught the kids to really go all in on that, they'd win a lot of games just on that alone. So that's my takeaway. The defense just has to get better.
Looking at the other games that were played this week, Matt, on Monday night, Sioux High knocks off Pickford at home, 73-34. Ingadine Falls at Munising, 67-38. On Tuesday, Rudyard all over Brimley, 94-47. Gaylord edges St. Ignace, 51-49. Boys basketball from Wednesday, Sioux High knocks off Cedarville Detour, 51-37. Newberry dropped a 62-36 decision on Wednesday to Munising. Pickford falls at undefeated Ellsworth, 94-55, and one game on Thursday. Ingadine now 0-8 on the season, joining Pickford with that record. They fall at Stevenson 63-26. So pretty much it's a foregone conclusion at this point, Matt, with the Rudyard Bulldogs knocking off Sioux High. They're going to win the Straits Area Conference. They're undefeated in conference play, 4-0. Sioux High 2-2. St. Ignace also at 2-2. Newberry at 0-4. Rudyard still undefeated, obviously, in the EUP Conference, 5-0. Cedarville Detour 4-1. Newberry 2-2. Brimley 2-3. Ingenine 0-2. And Pickford 0-5. So we did our preseason predictions on our first show, Matt. Any real surprises as far as where those teams sit in both those conferences?
No. I mean, I think we were pretty close. I mean,
yeah.
We the only thing that I was going back and forth on is whether Cedarville or Brimley would be two. And I mean, it's a coin flip as far as them. And I did mix up the, you know, Newberry and Pickford order. I thought Pickford would be better than they are. So that being said, I mean, we're pretty close. I didn't think Engadine would win a game. I stand by that prediction. And now we're just like betting whether anyone will come within 30 of Rudyard.
Yeah, that's pretty much where we're at as far as EUP basketball. Scott Nason and Matt Johnson with you for this January 29th edition of Full Court Press. And Matt, we're a little over a month away from districts, but I wanted to go over where teams are playing and who potentially they could play. And of course, this season, and I believe last season, you have the Michigan Power Rankings, much like they do in football, a little less controversial than they do in football, mind you, because every team gets in. But the Michigan High School Athletic Association put in these power rankings to avoid having the two best teams in the district meet each other in, say, an opening round game. They want that to happen in the final game, so they'll seed teams to avoid that. Sioux High will play in Division II, District 34, which is hosted by Kalkaska. Currently, with the power rankings, they're the second-ranked team. Boyne City, the best one so far. You also have Kalkaska, Kingsley, and Sheboygan. St. Ignace, they're in Division III. They'll play in the District 67, which is hosted by Harbor Springs. St. Ignace, currently the fourth-seeded team, if you will. Those teams are kind of bunched up. East Jordan, Charlevoix, Harbor Springs, and Johannesburg-Lewiston. District 101 for the Rudyard Bulldogs in Division IV, hosted by Ingenine. I would imagine that will be a pretty easy district for the Bulldogs. Obviously, they're ranked first. You also have Brimley, Newberry, Ingenine, and Ojibwe Charter. And finally, in District 102 in Division 4, you have Mackinac Island, Mackinac City, Cedarville, and Pickford. And for some reason, Mackinac Island was the top seed. I would assume that's a little bit of a mistake on the MHSAA website. Imagine that, them making a mistake. That's hard to believe. But Matt, as far as these power rankings and such, are you a fan of that? I think it was a good move personally by the MHSAA, but what are your thoughts and some of those potential districts?
It's not a mistake. It's a stupid formula for a stupid system. That's what
Continue.
So what they wanted to do, it used to just be random, right? Like you draw out of a hat. And
literally.
Yes. And I was fine with it. You know, it was kind of exciting, actually. but I understood the point of you get two really good teams that happen to be in the same district, and maybe they play in round one, you know, and then we have an anticlimactic district because some of these districts have four teams and there's clearly two best teams.
Right.
So here's my, I have an idea. They don't want to just, for some reason, you know, they don't want to just rank the teams and have it. They want to have some element of randomness and, but not totally random because they want the first two separated. Okay, here's what they should do. Have a committee. You could have a different one in kind of each region and just have them do power rankings. If they know basketball in the region, if you were to put together a committee, let's just say in the Eastern UP, you get, heck, you could get a couple of journalists together and we could do it. Or you could do retired coaches or ADs. Or even active, for that matter. As long as they have to meet in person, like, people know who the good teams are. And, yeah, we could quarrel about who's ranked higher, you know, like when we're sitting here saying, is Cedarville or Brimley better? Well, okay. You can always quarrel about like which of those should be ranked higher, but for the most part, it's going to be on. You're not going to get, you wouldn't, I tell you what you wouldn't get if you had actual humans picking. They wouldn't say Mackinac Island's the number one seed.
So, here's one better for you, Matt. I'm looking at it right now. In all divisions, 1 through 4 in boys basketball, on the MHSA website, the MPR listings for boys basketball, the highest ranking, or I should say the team that has the most points in Division 4, they're 8-0, Hannaville Natawasha, ahead of Detroit Martin Luther King, Detroit Catholic Central, Rudyard, everyone. How about that?
Well, yeah, because they have this, again, this convoluted, stupid system that they have, and I mean, to understand it, it took, you know, I needed a computer, a calculator, a slide rule to figure out, like, to figure out the system. It's just unnecessarily complicated. Do it one of two ways. Either have it be random or have it just be truly, like, just have human beings pick. Because the current system sucks, okay? So don't point out the flaws in these other systems when your current system is literally one of the worst imaginable. The other thing I'd say is, even if they just, the problem with records, if you just want to go by records, is it's about your competition. So right, the school that you mentioned, you know, if they have 8 games against the Little Sisters of the Blind and everyone else, and they get wins, it counts as undefeated. Well, right, that's why you have to have a human element to this.
My question is, Matt, how is someone at the MHSAA, and there's a lot of people that work there, and, you know, we've had Mark Ewell, the executive director of the MHSAA, on our show, and I can't wait to ask him about this the next time we get on there. How does someone not go onto their own website and look at the overall rankings and see that Hannaville is number one? Again, no offense to Hannaville, but they're playing the Grand Marais and the Beaver Islands of the world ahead of Detroit Martin Luther King and Rudyard. I mean, you're exactly right. I like the idea of ranking teams, but I think you're onto something where it needs to have a more human element. I think you're spot on.
Yeah, well, here's part of the reason. Some of the ADs are hesitant to be critical of MHSAA. Some of the more powerful ADs, partially because they aspire to get a job there someday.
You're right. No, could pay a job, too.
But when COVID broke out in 2020, I was very critical of MHSAA's handling of it because I thought they were being dishonest. I thought, like, everyone understood what was happening, which was they let us do a week of football practice, and then it got shut down. And then after a few weeks, it got restarted. And what, there was a game of chicken going on between the governor's office and the MHSAA. She wanted it to be canceled. They thought that they could, by letting us start, like it could somehow put pressure on the governor to allow it to happen by giving everyone a taste of it. And then I saw it get canceled and I saw kids get devastated. And I thought it was just thought it was dishonest. I thought that they knew it was going to be canceled. They just didn't want to have the heat for it. They wanted the heat to go on the governor. But I'm like, in the meantime, the kids playing are the pawns here. And I said that at the time and, you know, got chided by, you know, I'll just say some people with career ambitions or a person with career ambitions, MHSAA. And it's like, how dare you criticize the fine people at the MHSAA? By the way, did you get my resume?
Yeah, exactly.
So it's like these people need to represent their schools, represent their town, and not be kiss asses to the MHSAA.
Matt, we got a couple more topics before we end our show. Let's talk about the shot clock in high school basketball. Change could be around the corner for boys and girls high school basketball. The National Federation of High School Associations has approved experimentation with a 35-second shot clock. Several schools have used that in some holiday tournaments around the state of Michigan. This is something that still has a ways to go. It won't be next season. I guess at the earliest it would be in the 2022-23 season to not only adopt this, but to, you know, to have the ability to get these shot clocks clocks into all the schools, and these things cost over $2,000, as well as having a person trained at the scorer's table to run the equipment. And as a former coach and, of course, commentator on this show, I wanted your thought on shot clock in high school basketball in Michigan. Are you for it? Are you against it? If so, why?
I hate it. And, you know, I've heard from people, some people in the region who think, oh, we need to have this so people can't sit on the ball. And they say, well, maybe, you know, they say, well, I'm from the Western UP and the teams play slower there, or they're more deliberative. You know what? If you want the ball back, play defense. And I know some of you people out there, some of you people in the Eastern UP here don't believe in defense, and it shows when you watch some of these games. But if you want the ball back, play defense. Don't just worry about how much you score, how much your son scored, or your grandson. Play defense, okay? If you play good defense, you get the ball back from the other team. This is not even necessary. What teams are holding the ball for more than 35 seconds? Yeah, I've seen some through the years. West Iron County under Rage Drake Jr., they'd have a minute and a half long possessions. But you know what? We have a 5-second rule. You can't just sit there with the ball.
Right.
They have to pass it. They have to dribble it. If you're good at defense, which involves hard work, and it doesn't involve statistics and your name being in the paper, if you play good defense, you get the ball back. So that's my answer. It's expensive. People don't have the money. And now we're going to introduce a whole nother element. Now people get to fight about the shot clock and whether the shot was off. And now we're going to fight about whether the person running the clock knows what they're doing. And you've been an AD, you know what it's like to get volunteers.
Exactly.
Yeah. I just, how many possessions go over 35 seconds now?
Not many that I've seen.
In fact, it's the opposite. Most of these schools have a problem with shot selection. They just fire up a shot early in a possession that's ill-advised. Yeah, they need the opposite. They need a clock that says you can't shoot it until 15 seconds have gone by in the possession. Work for a better shot.
The theme for today's show is defense, and certainly that goes into that. And I just see a lot of problems, Matt, as far as just the cost. The MHSAA more than likely won't pay for it. They're certainly not going to pay for volunteers. And, you know, you go into the smaller communities, I mean, you know, it's hard enough, as you said, to find these people. We don't talk about them enough, these dedicated volunteers that, you know, put their time in to run these clocks. And it's hard. I did it once for middle school in Rudyard, and I will never do it again because a lot goes into it. You add the shot clock and all the things that have to go into that with the technology and some of these schools that have older systems. It causes headaches. So we'll have to wait and see what happens on this one, but I think it's probably not going to happen if I had to guess.
Yeah, well, the mentality is just wrong, and you see it in sports in general. These people, and they're just like, they just want to see scoring. Like, I mean, they just want to see scoring. They're not basketball fans. They don't appreciate, like, what it takes to win. They just want to score because it's fun. And your name in the paper. Give me a break.
Matt, we're going to end today's show with War Stories with Matt Johnson, one of our most popular segments on this show, as well as your predictions for bulletin board material for schools to motivate them to win. Matt, what do you got for us today as far as your installment of War Stories?
Yeah, I was almost at the bullet board here in Redwood. okay, so this one. Yes, I'm hearkening back to the AD days again. But I want to, in this case, I want to use it as an opportunity to educate the public about something that's gone on in education, and tell you how it could go wrong. And what this is that schools, to save money, sometimes have used third party services such as PESG, Edge staff, et cetera, to pay coaches and some various other school personnel. To explain to the listeners how this works, if a teacher or any school employee, I should say, is employed by a school, the school has to pay a certain percentage of the salary into a retirement fund for the state, a pension fund. So, for instance, if someone made $1,000 in a paycheck, let's just call it 25%, also has to be paid into the retirement system. So if the school's not paying $1,000, they're paying $1,250. So to get around that, these schools use these third-party services, which would charge like 17%.
Yep. So
the school's saving a little bit of money. And the only difference is the person who's an employee doesn't get a pension. Right? So yep. They're basically saving 8%. And the schools did this because they were pushed to do it by the state under Mr. Flint Water, Rick Snyder. So that happened. So like when you and I were AD at Rudyard, did you get paid through PESG?
I did.
I did as well. It was a money laundering operation. it was a fly by night money laundering operation. And I saw an article where the company just disappeared one night in the middle of the night, like the shady operation that they were, the shady criminal enterprise that they were. I'm surprised that the school didn't have to pay them in a bag of unmarked bills.
But anyway, flying into Iran or something.
How does this apply to war stories?
Yeah, well, really?
Yeah, yeah. One night, I was sitting in my office, reviewing my email, doing scheduling, and a variety of other tasks that an athletic director must do. And I got this message from Tracy Peterson, who had a basketball practice going on, saying, "You need to get here now." And I'm thinking, well, this is a different tone that I'm used to. Like, what's the emergency? What's happening? So I scurry on over to the gym, Scott, and he says to me, "One of the third-party replacement janitors, who's a female, is in the boys' locker room."
Oh, boy.
To paint a picture, as a result of, you know, like we said, the Snyder years, et cetera, let's just call it previous administration in Rudyard, Tony Habra, had eliminated the custodial staff. Those people had been there forever. They instead were replaced with people who were getting minimum wage. And this one lady apparently did not have the sense to know that it would be a problem to be in a boys' locker room while they're changing.
Oh.
So I went in and I said, "What are you doing?" And she's like, "What? I have to change the paper towel." It's like, get out of here. Are you out of your mind? And what had happened was, and that was it, obviously she wasn't going to work there anymore, but who would have thought that it would be a bad idea to have people, you know, getting minimum wage in charge of your school? And that's what we saw during the privatization era all around, and schools continue to see it. But that was certainly an indicator of how poorly thought out that system was, only more poorly thought out by when they thought it would be a good idea to have prison food service workers get minimum wage. What could go wrong?
Yeah, what indeed, Matt. And certainly I didn't know which direction you were going with war stories, and the fact that you got Tony Habra's name on our broadcast, a shout out to him if he's listening tonight. Very well done. Anything more to add before we let you go, sir?
I doubt very much that he is listening to this basketball podcast. You know, yeah. I
not a sports guy. Matt, looking at our broadcast coverage this week, we'll have Suhai Blue Devil basketball on 1230 WS. So all the Suhai Blue Devils will take on the Newberry Indians. You can hear that game with Dave Watson and Ray Bell starting at 7 on Radio Sioux. We'll also have a boys-girls doubleheader on Friday in St. Ignace. Big girls game. Straits Area Conference implications on the line as Suhai will take on St. Ignace. And then the boys will also take on the Saints from the Iggy Zone. We'll also have a game over on Country 105 for the EUP Game of the Week. Don't have the schedule from our sports director, but I know he'll be doing a game somewhere sometime You can find it on Country 105. Matt, appreciate you taking time out for joining us on Full Court Press. I'm sure we'll get lots of comment for this week's edition, and we'll talk to you next Saturday for our next Full Court Press here on the Game Entertainment Media.
Yeah, Scott, I was feisty today. You know what? The Sioux prediction, they made me look dumb, Scott, and it put me in a foul mood.
Well, I will say that you did amend your prediction. As you said, I do have the documented evidence that you changed that prediction. I don't give predictions on the air being a broadcaster, so I'm going to leave myself out of that and leave that to you. But you were proven right in the end. You got by. You got the documentation here, and so I can vouch for you. But certainly people are talking and people are listening. That is great. So, Matt, thanks for joining us again, and go Bengals tomorrow.
Yeah, and I just want to say, Scott, just for the record, and he does have the documentation on this, I won't get into what your prediction was, but I predicted that Red Deer would win by 12, and then they end up winning by 14.
You were very close.
Yeah, and that was after, because I saw my sample size change. But anyway, that's not going to change. I'm still going to get hissed and booed when I go to get gas or groceries in Red Deer.
And you love every minute of it, Matt, and that's why we love having you on the show. We'll talk to you next Saturday.
All right, Scott.
All right, for Matt Johnson and our special guest, EJ Suggett, my name is Scott Nason. Again, you can hear this show on our website, thegamesportshow.podbean.com, or go to any of your podcast platforms. You can just type in the game or the Game Sports Show, and you'll find a bevy of sports information, including our Monday night show, The Game, on News Talk 1400, 6 to 8 o'clock. Every Monday night, we'll be replaying the interview with EJ from this show, and we talk all sorts of sports on there. So if you listen to this show and like it, you'll probably like that one as well. We're going to wrap it up here on Full Court Press. We'll talk to you next Saturday for our next edition here on The Game Entertainment and Media.